and something that is on my heart that means a lot to me and to you, I hope. I entitled this message, You Need a Breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. A lot of people don't really realize what a breakthrough is, or how do you get a breakthrough, or the steps to approach God for a breakthrough. And I want to spend time today starting with a scripture that should be very familiar with everyone in Philippians in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And I want you to read along with me on this, if you can, and understand that this is really something that's phenomenal. Not that I have already attained or have already been perfected. That's where we are right now. We have not really attained, and we certainly haven't perfected. You know, I hear people all the time say, I've got it all together. I don't know what they're talking about. They're not walking in the real life, I don't think. Or I'm feeling like everything's so perfect. I've never been in that zone, you know. I've always not struggled, because there's been a lot of times of great flowing with the Holy Spirit, but I'm certainly not able to testify that everything is perfect. We're living in an imperfect world. Sometimes our days are so imperfect, we wish we didn't even wake up. And sometimes they start as we would want it to start. This day's just going to be perfect today. We confess it. God's going to order the steps, and God's going to show me favor today. And sometime during the day, something changes. Somebody turns the lights out on it, and you find yourself groping in the darkness trying to get through a day that you'll be all right. I'm saying anything downcasting or dealing with depression, some emotional trauma. I don't mean it here. What I'm saying is that Paul is stating to the church in Philippi, not that I have already attained. So the things I'm trying to say to you is I'm still working at it. Or have I been perfected? But I follow after it so that I may lay hold of that for which I was seized by Jesus Christ. I want to lay hold of the same thing that I was seized by Christ Jesus. I'm going to grab a hold of it. I want to embrace it. I want it to be part of my life. And oftentimes Christians don't do that. They want to obtain things that are physical, not spiritual. The greatest thing that we can ever do as believers is obtain the spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And the one who does not want you to do that is not your mate or your friend or your office coworker or your neighbor. It's the devil. He does not want you to seize that by which Jesus Christ seized you by. It is a proven fact when Jesus came out of the desert after 40 days of fasting, the enemy tried to seize him and take him from what his purpose was. And that's what the enemy wants to do with everybody that's walking on this earth that professes the name of Jesus Christ. That you would not fulfill your purpose. You would not walk in the steps of your destiny. That you wouldn't even try after a while because you're so weary of trying. Or you've swallowed so many
pills of failure. That you're so discouraged that to smile, your face hurts. Because the enemy has just bombarded you with thoughts. Did the same thing to Jesus. And I want you to know something. If you study that scripture where he came out of the desert and in Luke, and when the devil had this conversation with him, and I don't want to go down that road because it's another sermon, and I don't want to steer from this. I just want you to remember that the Bible says that the devil left him for a time. He came back again to try to trouble him, to stop him from his purpose. So you have to grab a hold that this is something that God wants for us to do, is to lay hold of the same thing by which Jesus seized us by. To have that purpose. And in verse 13 it says, "Brothers, I do not count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do." And I want you all to remember, stop trying to do all things. Get the one thing down. David said, "One thing I desire, and that is to get to the house of God." We're in a generation that they don't desire to go to church. I thank God for all your faces. I do. To get the church that he would inquire of the Lord. That he would be there in that temple to inquire of the Lord. The word inquire simply means, and I know you know the definition, but let me say it. It simply means to ask deeply of the Lord. To talk to the Lord. You need a breakthrough. And don't act like you don't. This church needs a breakthrough. Don't act like it doesn't. I need a breakthrough. And I'm not acting like it doesn't. But one thing I do, and I've disciplined myself to do this. And it wasn't easy at first, but I disciplined, and I want you to begin to discipline yourself. Forgetting those things which are behind. Friend, you cannot do anything about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. The troubles of yesterday are gone. God gives us a fresh start every morning. I think that's why we have days. So we can get a fresh start every morning. A new look at life. A new way to embrace the rising of the sun and the setting of the same. To go through a day knowing that God simply cares. He loves you and I. He's proven that love. Not only by giving his only begotten son, which we just celebrated the death and resurrection of. But his great love resides in us. He has proven that by the miracles that he's brought into your life. The answer of prayer that you have prayed to him. Well, you may say, "Oh, Pastor, he's answered my prayer, but I want him to answer that big one." Oh, come on, God. Let me tell you, he's coming. You need a breakthrough. And reaching forward, not reaching backward, but reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Friend, you have something that's ahead that's great and awesome and mighty. Believe God for it. Amen. Don't let the devil ruin the smile on your face. Don't let the devil take the joy out of your heart. Don't let the devil take the skip out of your step. Don't let the devil weight your hands down that you can't praise. Don't let the devil take you where you can't communicate. Don't let the devil come into your life where you just don't even feel like being a Christian. Rise up and praise the living God who is your King of Kings and Lord of Glory forevermore.
I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. I press towards the goal, to the prize. To the prize. To the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
I pray, you know that word press means? It means it's going to take a push. It's going to take a strength and subject you to really pressing hard.
It's not like pressing a little button if you want a candy out of a candy machine.
It's pressing. You press. Towards the prize of the high calling. And you know, everybody in this room, you've got a calling. You may not have a title. Titles are meaningless anyhow. You have a calling, whether or not you're ordained, or whether or not you're licensed, whether or not you're exhorted, whether or not you're given some sort of a position in a church. It doesn't mean any of that. What this means is this, that everybody that was born and has come into the kingdom has a calling to press forward to that which Jesus Christ has promised you. Amen. Don't let the devil come up to you and say, stop. Press through. No matter how bad things get, press through. No matter how tough things get, press through. No matter how high the mountain is, press through. No matter how deep the water is, press through. No matter how wide the river is, press through. No matter what it looks like, press through, because we serve a God that there is nothing too difficult for Him.
Amen. You need a breakthrough. A breakthrough. You need to press. Not just talk about press, but press. But you know what's in your way? Giants. Yep, there they are. Giants are in your way. You know what your giants are this morning. You know exactly what they are, because you deal with them personally. Your giants. The giants of worry. Every day, worry.
I worry. I'm not here to tell you that I don't worry. I stayed up the whole night the other night just thinking about this church and getting it repaired. I worried. That's a giant. You ever notice when you lay your head down to go to sleep, all of a sudden you begin to think about the things that bother you?
Yes.
That's your giant. Fear is a giant. Failures, past failures, are giants. Do you know what? You'll never be successful till you learn how to fail. Success comes through many tries where you failed, but then you grow and you succeed. You need a breakthrough, church. This church needs a breakthrough. Individually, you need a breakthrough. The giants are there and they're looking just like that. Big and ugly with weaponry in their hand that looks like they could take you out if they could get it right close to you. Worry, fear, failure, and then there's the frustrations of life. Who really cares? cares today if someone looks at you like they don't like you? Jesus loves me. So people can look at me all day long that I don't like you. That's all right with me because I love you, because the Bible says if I don't love you, then I can't love God. Someone say amen. Amen. Literally, I'm telling you the truth. Wait, dude, don't worry about it. God loves you. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that you would be saved, sanctified, filled with power, filled with fire, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That you can leap over the wall, vault over the wall, cross any sea, get over every mountain. No matter what, God is there for you. Press! Press by those giants. Press through those giants. If you begin to worry, say, worry's not going to help, but faith is, God's going to help me. What should I fear what man can do with me if God be for me? That's the scripture. I'm not afraid. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You see, what breaks down giants is faith. And literally, what also breaks down giants is prayer. Prayer, the barriers and breakthrough. Prayer, breakthrough. And then what we have, we literally have barriers, and a breakthrough comes through prayer. And friend, when you begin to pray, then you are introduced to the God of the breakthrough. God breaks through into your life. He touches you. Let me read a scripture to you that always blesses me. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. And I don't have it up for you to read, but I just want you to read with me. If you have your word or you have your digital pad in front of you or phone. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses. You know what that's saying? There's people that have had their breakthrough and they're already past, and they're just a cloud of witnesses for you to read in Hebrews 11. That is your crowd of witnesses. They've done it. They succeeded. Whatever it looked like that was unobtainable, they obtained because of God's help. Not by man's help, but God's help. And you know what? You'll never get a breakthrough by man's help. Not the breakthrough I'm talking about. Clouds of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily entangles us. You know, let me tell you something. I'm not going to sit here today and talk about sin. I'm talking about the weight of worry. I'm talking about the weight of fear. The weight of failure. The weight of frustration. Sometimes I'm on the phone with ministers of the gospel that are backslidden, and their biggest fear is the failure. Will they still be accepted by the kingdom? Will they be accepted by their peers if they come back into the ministry because of their failure? My God, don't worry about what people think. What God thinks is what it's all about. Am I preaching today? Yes. Let me tell you that God wants to do something for Hope for the Bay. God wants to do something for each and every one of you individually. He wants to bring you and give you a breakthrough. Amen. I'd be shouting if I was you about that. I'm telling you right now, because praise God, I heard that man of God praying this morning, and what he was praying is breakthrough prayers. He wasn't sitting there turning to the north, south, east, and west, praying some little nimby-pamby prayer like, please give us a harvest. He was saying, hey, this is what's up. We need grace. We need love. We need you, God. Amen. He took so long. He didn't take long at all. He prayed a prayer that was anointed by God. understand what I'm trying to say to you? When you pray into the north, south, east, and west, you are praying against spiritual powers of darkness. Would you please give me a couple people? No! In the name of Jesus, release! In the name of Jesus, love, power, grace, mercy. We can't do this without you, Father. Release! We need a breakthrough in harvest. The kingdom of God in America needs a breakthrough across this nation. We need a spiritual awakening, a spiritual breakthrough where harvest comes and the overflow will be there and it'll be mighty and we will raise our voice in praise to the living God. Someone preach with me today. I haven't preached for a while. I've been sort of teaching a little bit. But I'm in the preaching mood. I'm trying to tell you right now, I'm not worried about the sin that so entangles us, because I think you've taken care of that by the blood of Jesus. I'm talking about the weight you keep carrying. I'm going to call everybody go on a spiritual diet today. Get rid of that weight that's holding you back from pressing forward. Stop looking in the rear view mirror of life. You can't change it. There's a lot of cracks in the rear view when I look in it, for me. A lot of cracks. A lot of failures. A lot of frustrations. A lot of fears. A lot of worries. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking ahead for the promises that God has spoken, not only for my life, but for your life and for this church and for the church in America. Amen. We've been praying for revival since the early 80s for the San Francisco Bay Area to have a breakthrough of revival. This is a sinful area. Horrible, horrible depths of sin. Murder, violence, greed, immorality. Debauchery, revelry, I could go through them all, but it is the birthing place for so many things that is so sinful and against the kingdom of God. We've been praying for a breakthrough, a revival, a spiritual awakening, that people would come forth. For you to see your family members saved. And to stop talking about why they're not in church, start praising them in church. Hallelujah. We need a breakthrough. Let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. You know, I don't run backwards, do you? Run forward. You run forward. You run forward. That's set before us. And let us look to Jesus, because he's our greatest example. The Bible's very clear. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We would have no faith lest it was for Christ Jesus. He's given each and every one of us, when we got saved, a measure of faith. And if you exercise that measure, it turns into a dump truck full of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And literally, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Would you begin to endure what you're carrying? We all got a cross to bear, but he endured it. But how did he endure it? Listen, he despised the shame of it and is seated at the right hand of God. But he literally, of God, at the throne of God, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and your hearts give up. You don't want to give up. You don't want to give up at all. You don't want to do that, because there is a joy. And I held back saying that purposely. There is a joy that was set before him. There is a joy that is set before you. Pray to meet the God of your breakthrough. Pray for that. I'm going to take you now over to something that's really, really cool.
And I really want you to follow me in 2 Samuel 5. Because I want you to have an encounter. I want you to learn that you need to have an encounter with God. You're not going to get your breakthrough without an encounter with God. You need an encounter. Raise your hand if I'm helping you today. You literally, you're going to get an encounter. You need an encounter with God. And I think the church, and I'm not saying this as a whole. I'm not saying this, but I'm saying it for America. The church has stopped encountering God. Which includes this church. And it includes the churches in the Bay Area. They've stopped encountering God. You need an encounter with God to get a breakthrough. Follow me in 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 21. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" Let's spend some time there. David went and had an encounter with God. He talked to God about his situation. Should I fight this or not? What he's saying is, "God, are you going to fight this for me and I can just kick back here and let this thing?" You know, God doesn't want to do everything for you. You're never going to grow. You're never going to be nurtured. You're never going to be mature. He's saying, "You know, God, you know, do you want me to go up? And if I do go up, will you deliver me? Will you deliver my team? Will you deliver my army today from this Philistine army, which is much bigger than us?" You know, let me tell you, the giants that I showed you, those giants, that picture that you saw, those giants are much bigger than us. David went into the battlefield to a giant that was bigger than him, but that giant insulted God, which got David upset. I think it's about time the church gets upset because the devil keeps trying to insult God. My God, I'm going to shout, "Whoa, hallelujah. Hallelujah." We need to get upset with that devil because he's insulting God because he comes in and starts bombarding the thoughts and starts bombarding the minds and starts bombarding the family. And let me tell you, he's insulting God because we are God's children. In essence, he's saying, "God's not going to help you. God can't do anything. You're just a dog." What David said in essence there in that valley is, "I may be who you say I am, but it's not me that you're dealing with." So that's a revelation we need to get in our hearts and our minds again. Wake it up in your heart. Wake it up in your mind. And wake it up in your speech. It's not me that I'm worried about. He's insulting God. And when you insult God, look out, here I come. I may only have a little stone in my sling, but I'm going to tell you what little I have, because you've insulted God, will tear down who you are. "Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord. So David went up to Baal Perazim. And David defeated them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me." That's the testimony we have, isn't it? "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me. Like a breakthrough of water." You see, what he found out and what Baal Perazim is that he had an encounter with the master of breakthroughs. He had an encounter with that God, the only true God, that gave him a breakthrough without the number of people he needed
without what he thought he needed. All he knew, he had to ask, will you give me deliverance? Stop asking God, how am I going to get through this? Start asking God, are you going to give me deliverance in this? Praise the name of the Lord our God forevermore. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means the master of breakthroughs. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. I just paraphrase these next scriptures. Then all of a sudden, the Philistines came back. Someone shout with me there. All of a sudden, the devil comes back. Come on, someone preach with me today. All of a sudden, the devil comes back. And David said, what am I to do, God? Am I to go up against them again? What should I do? Will you help me? You see, every time the enemy gives a visitation to your home, to your family, to your mind, to your circumstance, to your situation, look up! Shall I go up? Will you help me? He said, go. And go stand underneath the trees and wait. Sometimes God puts us in a waiting period. Even though the enemy is visible. Even though the enemy is there. Even though the enemy, you could see him and you can see the power of that enemy, the power of that thing, that giant that is causing you not to be able to move forward in what God has called you to do in your destiny. You see them. He said, go. And wait. And when you hear the rustle of the mulberry leaves, then go forth. You see, I believe, and I'm going to spiritualize that. What I believe is that this was the angels of God coming across these mulberry trees. And by their presence, they began to just bring the noise of these trees. And God was teaching David, patience, wait. I will help you, but first wait for me to do something. You see, a lot of times, folks, we don't get our breakthrough because we are refusing to wait on God. David heard it and he came out and destroyed them. Every time the enemy comes back, look up to God. Are you going to help me here? Are you going to help me get through this? And are you going to help me get there? You see, let me just take you through something. A breakthrough in prayer has to come. A breakthrough in prayer. See, you got to pray. And I don't know if you're praying or not. I'm not asking you if you've got a prayer life. I know I do. I know I do. And I'm glad I do. Is it hard to have a prayer life? Oh, you better believe it. To kneel and pray for hundreds of people. To pray for God's mercy to show up. To pray for revival in this most evil Bay Area. Drugs. Sexual immorality to the max. Racism. Greed. Poverty. It's not a pretty picture. To pray, to feel that burden, to cry out to God for his hand to move across this Bay Area. Do you know all he has to do is sweep his hand over this Bay Area and it's done. And if I could do it on my own, I would do it. I would march the streets of the Tenderloin. I would march the streets of Santa Cruz. And I would march the streets up and down the Monterey Bay, up and down 880 corridor, and I would in the power of God say the words that could happen, but if God's not there with me, I am not going to see anything done. We have to have a breakthrough in prayer. Y'all need to pray. You need to get on your face. You need to sit down in a chair. You need to get with God every day. Stop complaining. Stop pointing the spirit of criticism. Stop looking at your neighbor. Don't. Well, what are they doing? Who? My God, look up. Look up. Look up to a God that'll bring deliverance. Secondly, you need to have a breakthrough in praise. You can just pray right into praise. You can sing in your home, sing in your car, you can sing in church. You can have a breakthrough in praise. Getting with God through praise. Worship Him. Acknowledge Him. Give Him all the glory that He so rightfully deserves. Praise Him. Love on Him. Not everything has to be done in travail, but give a praise with a pure heart. Praise God. Not everything has to be done with a dance, but dance and praise Him with a pure heart. Not everything has to be done by the lifting of hands, but praise Him with a pure heart. These are not just words that we sing on Sunday morning. They are words unto the God of Israel, the God of the heavens and the earth, the God of the universe, the God who created you and I, the God who has delivered us from the depths of hell and promised us a heaven that is beautiful. Praise Him. I don't feel like praising today. That's because you have not had an encounter with God. You've had an encounter with your giants, and so because you've encountered your giants on the way to church, you ain't praising. And that's what it's like when you go to God with that kind of an attitude. What you're saying to God is, those giants are still there. I'm not praising you. Hey, David waited in underneath the trees. He just got through with one battle. He's got to wait on God, and he's tired and he's weary. His men are weary. He waited. One thing I desire. One thing I desire. One thing is to get into the house of God. One thing. Praise God. Is to inquire of Him. I'm going to break through every giant. I'm going to break through every bit of worry, every bit of fear, every bit of frustration, every bit of failure. When I get into the house of God, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. I don't care who's there. I don't care if they look at me, if they don't like the way I'm dressed, the way I fixed my hair. I don't care if I come in late or leave early. I don't care anything. When I get in there, I am going to have an experience. I'm going to have an encounter with God because I'm going to church not only to pray, not only to praise, but to get a breakthrough because I need a breakthrough personally. Praise God. Let me close with this one scripture. Let me read it out of the Amplified Version, and I'll just kind of just do a little bit of it in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. But we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty. And if I'm not wrong, I heard that young preacher when he was praying, talk about treasure this morning. And maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was an angel whispering in my ear what I heard. But we got a treasure. Don't let fear. Certainly don't let the giant of doubt cover your treasure. Man, I'm preaching today. So that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, His sufficiency, and not from ourselves.
We are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed. Some folks walk around here, and I see them in the Bay Area, Christians, they're crushed. You crush, you might as well throw in the towel if you're crushed. Because, you know, you ever seen a pineapple look like a pineapple after it's crushed? You can put the pieces back together and look like a pineapple again, but when it's crushed, it's crushed. You ever put a strawberry in a juicer? You can't get it back together. Because it's crushed. It's mixed. The Bible says right here, we're pressured in every way. Hedged in. Isn't that how it feels sometimes? But not crushed. Perplexed. Unsure of finding a way out. But not driven to despair. You know, the enemy's dealing with your personalities. He's found a way in. Tell him to get out the same way he came in. I love you all with all my heart. Just preach this message into your spirit. If you leave today saying, I can't believe he said that, then you know what? You're crushed. You're so hedged in, you'll never find a way out. The devil has got you somehow, some way, has got you into a place that you're not even yourself any longer. Rise up! Don't give up! Move forward! Don't step backward! Look ahead! Don't look behind you! Know that the God of your salvation is going to be there with you. But not driven to despair, hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted to stand alone, struck down but never destroyed. Also, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus so that the resurrection life of Jesus Christ also may be shown in our body. That's what people want to see in you. Here's what happened. You got saved. You told everybody you were a Christian. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You called them up on the phone speaking in tongues. Praise God. You got called into the ministry. You let everybody know, hey, I'm in the ministry. Praise God. I got my license. Praise God. Hallelujah. You call everybody up. Don't. You're carrying around a treasure. You're carrying around an advertisement that you belong to Jesus. Don't let the devil tarnish your billboard. Don't let the devil destroy the sign that you carry. Don't let him tarnish the vessel. You're not broken. You are alive in Christ Jesus. You are empowered by the Holy Ghost. You got faith that can conquer any mountain, go across any river, can swim any ocean, go through any valley. You have met the master of breakthroughs, and he brought a breakthrough into your life through prayer and praise. Let me close. Because I think I've preached it too long and too hard, but that's okay. I'm going to close it with a little sign that I found. This will fix some of the bruises you got. Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So relax and have a great day. Wow. When I found that, I said, praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What a way to end a message that will bring the breakthrough to people's heart. Praise God. I love you guys. With all my heart, Kathy and I, there's so much love in us.
for you. We want to see this church get its breakthrough. We want to see you get your breakthrough individually. It's not how am I going to handle this. It's God, have you helped me here? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So I want to say to you today, relax and have a great day.